Welcome to Leading with Health with Jennifer Michelle. Jennifer has a master's in public health and epidemiology and is a certified EMT. As president of Michelle Marketing Strategies, Jennifer specializes in healthcare marketing. She is on a mission to help women find their voice so they can create a stronger, more responsive healthcare system. Here is your host, Jennifer Michelle.
Jennifer, welcome back to Leading with Health. It is so great to have you here again. We have a fantastic interview lined up today. And since the last time I did one of these wonderful interviews, I know that several of you went and gave me some really nice ratings on iTunes. And I want to say thank you and encourage anyone out there listening to go and do that. That really helps people find the podcast and helps them learn more about the show. So thank you so much. It is really appreciated. And today on Leading with Health, I'm really excited because we are talking about something that I didn't know too much about. It was about healthcare facilities closing, which I really am just learning about along with you. And I'm very happy to introduce you to Sharon Crenshaw. She is founder of the Crenshaw Business Group, and you can find her on LinkedIn or at info@SharonCrenshaw.com. And she's the host of the WISH podcast, which stands for Working in Support of Healthcare Facilities. Now, Sharon's been a healthcare inventory specialist for 14 years and is currently a business consultant that specializes in helping healthcare facilities to increase their revenue and reduce debt so they don't need to close. She spoke at the 2019 International Conference on Hospital Management, and she is on a mission to help reduce the amount of healthcare facilities that are closing and filing bankruptcy. So, Sharon, welcome. It is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Jennifer. It is a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. So, well, let's dive in. I really think maybe just give some of the people listening and me as well a sense of the situation. You know, what I didn't know personally that there were so many more closings going on. So what's going on out there?
Well, Jennifer, yeah, since 2010, there has been 102 healthcare facilities that closed down all over the United States. And more recent, since April, our research said since April, from January to April, 8 facilities have closed down. And I'm sure many more have closed down since. And basically what it is healthcare facilities are going through so many different challenges right now. And with their negative cash flow, financial problems, government reimbursement on Medicaid and Medicare. Even decline in patient volume and increase in uninsured and underinsured. And I think that has an impact on why these facilities are closing down.
Wow. So is this going on in certain parts of the country more than others, or is it all over?
Well, basically it's all over, but the majority of the closings have been in the southern states. To case in point, Texas has had 17 facilities to close down.
Wow.
Tennessee has had 10. Georgia has had 7. Mississippi, Missouri, and Kansas, 5. North Carolina, Oklahoma, and Alabama has had 6. And this information is based on the North Carolina Rural Health Research Program.
And why is it affecting the southern states so much? What's going on in that?
The reason why I think it's affecting the southern states is a lot of southern states, people are moving out of those communities, people are moving out of the rural areas, and I think that has a large impact on the reason why it's affecting those southern states.
So is a lot of this to do with not just reimbursements and things, but the community itself is shrinking around the healthcare facility?
Yeah, or either it's possible that also, say for instance, you're in the community and you need certain services and your healthcare facility in the community don't provide that service. So a lot of people are leaving the community to go get the services that they need. And one of the things that through my research that I've discovered is, especially if it's a nonprofit hospital, one of their goals supposed to be to go out into the community and just meet with the community, find out what it is that they need, what type of services they want to see, work with this community to see if you can bring those services into that healthcare facility. And so if we need a service and they're not offering it, we have no other choice but to go outside the community and get the service that we need for our health.
Of course, that makes sense. I mean, you can see how that would happen. This is something that I always find interesting, because what I talk about on this show is healthcare. I find that people usually have a personal story of why what they're doing is important to them. And I'm just curious, how did you get this interested in healthcare facilities and their closings?
Okay. What makes this so passionate to me? Like I said, I've been in the healthcare industry for the last 14 years. And the reason why this is passionate to me is because about 10 years ago, I lost my best friend. It's my belief that it was the distance between her home and the healthcare facility. The paramedics came into her home. They worked on her. They worked on her in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. They were even working on her as they rolled her through the door at the healthcare facility. However, by the time they got there, she had already passed away. And that was just devastating to me. And we look at it like, do we blame the hospital? No. Do we blame the paramedics? No, we don't. And actually, I blame myself. I blame myself because that's an opportunity. If I had known that the community healthcare facility in her community was having issues financially, that would have been a great opportunity for me to go in there and try to see what we could do to make them sustainable.
Wow. Wow. That's, I'm so sorry to hear that, but I can see why this is so important to you. So let's, I appreciate how personal that is. I'm thinking about how people don't realize what a closing is going to mean for them until a situation like that happens. So let's talk a little about that. What are the impacts that communities see when a healthcare facility is either struggling or actually going to close?
Well, number one, it has a major economic impact on the community. Mm-hmm. Families lose their job and it's devastating. They're struggling to pay their bills. They're struggling to find additional employment. They're having to drive further to find employment. And, they just have all these issues that, if the facility had been open, it affects the school system, because if a facility closed down and it's a nurse or whatever, mm-hmm. if they don't have anything in their community, then that means they have to leave out of the community and just provide employment in order to support their family.
No, that makes sense. Do you find that that they do find new jobs, or in these communities, are they really just kind of, there winds up being just more unemployment, that there is no job for them to get?
In the community, sometimes there's just no job for them to get, or they're working two or three different shifts in order just to provide for their services. Whereas initially, when they were working at the healthcare facility, they may have had one job. Now they have to have two jobs just in order to meet their basic needs.
Yeah.
And that's what we run into a lot with, if I speak and as I'm out networking in the communities, that's one of the issues that's definitely a concern.
Yeah, well, and that's so much harder when you're trying to piece together different jobs to make ends meet and still raise your family. That's incredibly complicated. And what I also think about is when you have a hospital, it's kind of like a little economy, isn't it? Because you have so many different things going on. You've got a cafeteria, you've got the healthcare facilities, but you've also got the parking garages, you've got all these different worlds, going on at once. And it's more than you realize. It affects a lot more people and a lot more jobs than I think people, you think, oh, doctors and nurses, but it's so much more than that, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It affects everyone from the C-suite all the way down. It flows from the C-suite all the way down. And it impacts everyone. It impacts everyone. And then it's a major impact on the C-suites because, they have a different lifestyle and it's devastating to them as well, just as well as the person that's doing the cleaning or the people that's running the parking garage. It affects the entire community. Not only that, it affects the markets in the community. It affects the malls in the community, because if people are leaving out of the community for employment, if people are leaving out of the community to find additional housing, so it affects the economic of that community in a devastating state.
So you're saying that when the hospital closes, by definition, people have to spend more of their time in a different part of their state or in a different part of the city or near a nearby city. And that's all their disposable income then goes to restaurants in that area. Then suddenly they're paying for gas stations in a different area of town, and they're it's a totally different lifestyle. So it undermines the whole town, really, which I never thought about, but I can see that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It affects everyone. It affects everyone, like I said, from the top all the way down to everyone that's in this facility.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what can be done about that, because I can really see how it can have such a big impact. But yeah, I'm curious to know what these facilities can do. I mean, is there a way to prevent it? Are there warning signs? I mean, obviously, if they're not being able to, you know, make ends meet, they would know that. But are there things that they should be aware of or that they can do before it gets that dire?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because when they get to the point where they're either shutting down or where they're going to file bankruptcy or where they can't meet payroll, and that's happening more and more. And I tell you, I wake up every morning at 4:30 a.m. just to put together and make sure I'm on point with the strategy that when I walk into those healthcare facilities that I can be able to support them, help them become sustainable.
Okay, Sharon, 4:30? 4:30.
4:30 in the morning. And it's just something that I'm just used to.
Now, why is that? Why is that?
Because
at 4:30, if I'm up, I'm usually swearing about something. Like, why am I up?
Yeah, 4:30, because here's the thing. At 4:30 in the morning, it's quiet. I know that everyone else is asleep, especially in my home. It's quiet time here. Mm-hmm. And then if I need to just check my emails to see anything that happened overnight, I'll be able to jump on it first thing. Because when we work with our clients, we set up with their finance team, and if it's something that happened in the middle of the night, we'll be aware of it.
Okay.
And so that's why I want to jump onto it, so we can have a solution when I walk in the door in the morning.
Okay, well, and it does make sense, because hospitals, obviously, they are 24-hour, you know, situations. I like the way how you just said so casually, well, 4:30 I get up. I'm like, whoa, just stop right there. So 4:30 usually means the cat's just walked over my head and I'm already upset. So that's not good. So, okay. So 4:30, you're on the ball, you're ahead of the game, everyone's just blown away. Talk to me then about what's going on, or what are these situations that might happen in the middle of the night that, you know, would be something that would impact them?
One of the things that would impact them, and this is major, say for instance, they had emergency surgery in the middle of the night and they needed a particular product and they just didn't have that particular product. So my goal is to figure out what's going on, why they didn't have that product. Could have gotten it from an emergency, another facility within that area. So those are the major concerns that work. Also, they run their reports and they see their financials. So if there is a negative somewhere on their financials, I need to be able to pinpoint it and figure out what the solution is and have an answer for them when we walk in the door.
Wow. So do they usually have a sense of what the issues are affecting their finances, or are they often not seeing what is really the problem?
Well, I think they have a sense of it, but I think a lot of times they're just not being as much aware. And I feel that the board of directors need to pay close attention to what's going on in the financials. And that's my issue with it, because sometimes the C-suite, I'm not sure how much information they're sharing with all their board of directors. And then because sometimes the issue is accounts receivable, accounts repayable, they're in a negative state. And if somebody don't jump in there and correct that issue from the point it's discovered, then that's what gets these healthcare facilities in a dilemma that they find themselves in. And so.
No, I'm sorry. Go on.
And so basically what we do is we go in and we sit down with the C-suite and we figure out what their issues are. We figure out a way to help them find a solution. We do an assessment. And when we do that assessment, they can tell us breakdown of everything that they have going on with their accounts payable, accounts receivable, with their staff. We sit down and go over everything with them, and we put together a strategic plan in order for them to we work with them to find a solution.
So what are the kinds of things that they can change? I mean, I don't know about the reimbursements or any of that, but what are some things that they're, that you've seen people successfully make changes and work through these situations to come out on top again? What would some of those be?
Well, some of the things that we go in and do is work with their supply chain management team.
Okay.
We help them get on target with what's coming in the facility, what's going out, what's being charged. We also work with their staff to do staff development. And we also work with their inventory management staff. And then basically, once we sit down and we have a relationship, and it's all about relationship,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of healthcare facilities, they don't want anyone from the outside coming in. But here is the thing. If you're filing bankruptcy, we're going to know about it anyway. If you can't meet payroll, the outside is going to know about it anyway. But we want, when we go in to let them know that we want to walk hand in hand, side by side as their partner. We are here to help them. We are here to help them survive. Because a lot of time, facilities, they may be surviving, but they're shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to make sure that we're turning them around from surviving to thriving.
Wow. So now, you know, my start in marketing, which is what I do now, was actually in retail. It was in e-commerce. And so when you mentioned inventory, the one thing anybody who knows anything about any kind of retail will tell you is that inventory can kill you. If you're not on top of it, if you're not aware of what's coming in or what you're, you know, getting, and if it's not really tied to what you need, that can mess up your bottom line like nothing else. I guess I hadn't thought about it, but that must be very similar to what happens in a healthcare facility is that, I mean, and I actually see this with our local rescue, is you have to have so many things in case you need them, even though you may never need them, but you have to have them in your facility and you have to keep up to date on them because if anything expires, you can't keep it. It's, I imagine inventory is just huge to deal with in a hospital. Is that
absolutely?
Is that a situation though where they can often make some really useful changes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the 12 years that I was doing inventory, going mm-hmm. around to hospitals all around the country, one of the biggest challenges that I saw was a lot of healthcare facilities had multitudes of expired product. And that is definitely, that's a waste. It's a waste.
Yeah.
And it's also very detrimental to their finances. And so one of the things that we do is we go in and we try to train their staff. And number one, which you would think that they would know this, but we help them to rotate their stock. We mm-hmm. help them to not order as many supplies. And some facilities have where supplies come in every day. They order from the warehouse. They order from vendors. And so if we can go in and try to say, hey, you have the supplies here, because it doesn't make sense to order supplies and have them sitting on the shelf in the warehouse and not on the floors. And if you have supplies just sitting in the warehouse, that means you're being charged for those supplies and they're carrying on your books.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can get the faster we can get those supplies turned around, that means the faster your revenue and everything turns around. Because here's the thing. Once you use up those supplies, you can be charged out. And so if they charge out, that's additional revenue coming in the facility. Supplies sitting around a healthcare facility is not doing nothing but just sitting on the accounts books. That's it.
Wow. Do you find that most healthcare facilities are on top of the inventory, or do you find that that's like they have some maybe outdated approaches to it that really are causing part of their problems?
Some facilities are on top of it and some are not. And when we run across a facility that's not, we go in and implement a no-expired zone. And basically a no-expired zone is when you designate certain individuals to a certain particular area, and that is their responsibility to check those supplies every month. You check at the, you can choose your, however you would like to do it, at the beginning of the month or either at the end of the month. It's totally up to you, but just to make sure that there is nothing that's going to be expired. And one of the things with this no-expired zone, what I found to be very beneficial to facilities is material managers, they go around and just do random audits. And so they don't necessarily wait on the inventory team to come in and just check for expires. They go around and do random audits. So if there's something going on, they'll be able to address the issue from that point.
Okay. Well, now let's talk about the other side of things. You were talking also about reimbursements, as that can be part of the problems going on. What can be done about that?
One of the things that can be done about reimbursement, just depending on how far behind you are in your reimbursements, what we suggest is that you set up a task force, and that's strictly what they do. Mm-hmm. They go in, they look at your reimbursements. You see if it's figure out what the issue is. It may be a coding issue. It may be an insurance issue. We work with them to see what type of issues that they're having, and we can go in and address that. But like I said, what's been successful is putting together a task team, and it's usually one or two people, and that's their designated duty is to find out what's going on with Medicare and Medicaid. And then once they get into the scope of everything, then they can figure out what the issues are and start getting that reimbursement money to coming into their facility.
Is it sometimes just not getting the coding right, or what would be going on there? I guess I don't know that much about that, frankly.
Sometimes it is the coding. Sometimes it's the coding. And sometimes it's just like, for instance, it may be a different procedure. Say, for instance, you use this particular item versus this particular item. Say it's a particular item that was used on one particular case. Medicare and Medicaid is looking for that same item to be charged every time. Certain doctors use certain supplies, even though they're still doing the orthopedic doctor is doing orthopedic surgery. Mm-hmm. They may use different doctors may use different products, but unless those each one of those codes are in the system, then they may not can charge for it because it's not in the system. And one of the things we tell them to do, once you know all the codes that that particular doctor is using, check your system and make sure those codes are updated in the system. And that way you guarantee to get your reimbursement because you have all the correct codes in place.
Ah, that's got to be so complicated. You know, I'm always kind of in awe at the people who can work on that because it just seems like, wow, that's just diving into it, isn't it, right there? So
right.
Talk to me about other things. What other things that have you seen help facilities so that they don't have to close or to help them turn around?
Like I say, just bring, sometimes you just need a third perspective. You need to bring in a third perspective. I know a lot of facilities, they're doing very well, but sometimes bringing in that third perspective just to take a look at what's going on from the top all the way downstream. And once you see what the issues are, and even if, say, for instance, you think everything is going well, you bring someone in to do a different look at it at a different perspective, they may catch something that you didn't catch. Because sometimes we can be so close to an issue that we don't actually see what's actually going on.
That I think we all see that in different companies. And even, you know, I see that even in my own company. There's that point where you just need somebody's perspective just outside of your own head to see it a little differently and to give you that point of view. I mean, that's so important, I think, for anyone. So what have been some of the things that you have felt proudest about that you've seen in the work that you're doing?
One of the things that I felt proud about, let's see. Oh my goodness. we've had success going into some of these facilities. One of the things I can say is a facility called us in and they was having an issue with one of their vendors. And what was happening is the vendor was bringing supplies into their facility and nobody in the facility was documenting it. And so basically the healthcare facility was seeing a loss. They were seeing a loss, but what was happening is you allow a vendor to bring supplies in and you're only taking their word for it. So basically what we did is we set up an inventory system that anything that the vendor bring into the facility is going to be documented. As the nurses use it, it's going to be documented. As it's being charged to the patient, it's documented. And that way it gives a complete track of everything that's coming in the facility. And that's been definitely a good scenario where we really help healthcare facilities with that. Because vendors, here is the thing. They come in, they use your facility just to store their product. And then honestly, if they're using your facility and those products are in your facility, you're carrying that cost on your books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's inventory right there. That's okay. Awesome. You know, Sharon, thank you so much for talking to us about this. I mean, honestly, I didn't know anything about this. I knew that certainly sometimes these rural hospitals were closing, but I didn't realize what was going on as a result of it. So I really appreciate your coming on the show and talking with me and helping me see a little bit more of that. So it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And for everyone listening, if you want to learn more about Sharon's work, you can find her on LinkedIn, Sharon Nixon Crenshaw, or you can email her at info@SharonCrenshaw.com. And again, I just want to say, I know you guys think you come on the, you know, when maybe you're in your car, maybe you're cleaning the house while you're listening to this, whatever you're doing, but really thank you for listening and supporting Leading with Health. And I also really especially appreciate all of you who go and give me a rating or a review for the show on iTunes. It really does help spread the word about it. So thank you so much. And until next time, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Leading with Health with Jennifer Michelle. If you'd like to learn more about Jennifer's work with healthcare companies, visit michellemarketingstrategies.com and sign up for a free consult. Together, we can create the healthcare system we deserve.